And Fess, are you participating today or just kind of dropping back?
I think I'll just drop back. I'll try as best to drop back as possible. I got some hostess cakes here, so I'm just going
to eat. Hostess fruit pies to the rescue.
Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon newscast.
Welcome again, one and all, to the Webcomic Beacon, episode number 186. This is the newscast for May 8th, 2011. I'm your host, Ross Scott of The System. If you're curious to see anything that I do, be sure to check my website, systemcomic.com. With joining us today, of course, as always, keeping everything running behind the scenes, is Fess, so we'll give him a shout-out, of psiwebcomic.com. Check it out. Hey, Fess.
Hey-o.
This way when you talk at some point, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like, who the hell was that coming in out of nowhere? Joining us also today, back from a somewhat long newscast hiatus, is Alex of Alex's Guide. Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Well, hello there.
You can find her work at alexsguide.net. How was PenguinCon?
Awesome. It's my favorite con.
Really?
Seriously, yeah.
Why is it your favorite con?
Because of awesome people and less teenagers, and I drew lots and lots of My Little Ponies. And
that's never bad.
Yeah.
Why is just awesome. My Little Pony so popular lately? I don't know.
Well, there's a new cartoon out, and yeah, it's surprisingly good. So it actually just finished up its first season.
Last
night was the series finale, or season finale.
Speaking of My Little Pony, also joining us today is Eric from Excern. You can find his work at exern.com. Hey, Eric.
That is the worst segment in the segue in the history of segues.
I know. That's what I love about it.
Speaking of My Little Pony, because it has absolutely nothing to do with Eric.
I love that. Amazing. Okay. Well, before we launch into the news, I wanted to point out one thing from our own website. So if you're curious about any of the stuff that we're talking about today, all the links that we're going to run through, all of them are posted on the post that goes along with the podcast. If you subscribe, be sure to check out our website, webcomicbeacon.com, where the articles that we talk about go up. A comment from last week that I wanted to just make sure to mention. We were talking about art collectives, and Drez commented on the site, "Your discussion about collectives really brought up a bunch of good points. I don't think collectives will ever really die. They're more of a jump-off platform like for like-minded and similar niche comics to band together and work as a team. It's difficult to do it all alone, so the safety net of the collective really helps. If anything, with experience, the collectives will turn into a full-scale business once enough manpower, money, and resources can be poured into them full time." And he goes on a bit from there. But I just wanted to point it out because we need more people to comment on the site. So I want to be sure to, you know, give props to the people that are doing it.
Does this person have a website?
That is a valid question that I didn't think to click on his name and find out. Of course he does, right? I mean, who doesn't? It is El Cuervo, a noir webcomic. It is el-cuervo.com. So be sure to go check it out. It's pretty. All right. Now we will jump into the news. Starting off, this article on comic book resources. Apparently, Amazon has decided that Yaoi is too hot for the Kindle, and therefore deciding that, for those not familiar, Alex, do you want to explain Yaoi? I volunteered you.
Well, Yaoi is basically boy-on-boy love in context of manga and doujinshi and anime and that kind of thing. Usually involves sex, and it is very popular.
Amongst? amongst girls.
Young, nubile teenage
yep.
girls.
Yep. So next time you're at an anime convention and you see girls with yaoi paddles, there you go.
Yes. There's there's a soft core and a hardcore side to the yaoi paddles.
Oh.
I witnessed the birth of the yaoi paddles like at OhioCon years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Back then they were still like hand drawn on, you know, like a cricket bat or whatever they used.
Oof. All right then. So Amazon has decided to pull yaoi from their Kindle selections. Looks like, according to this article, from their guidelines of what can go on Amazon Kindle, pornography, which they label as pornography and hardcore material that depicts graphic sexual acts, and offensive material, which is, quote, what we deem offensive, is probably about what you expect. Amazon Digital Services. Yeah, probably what you expect. That's what they say. Reserves the right to determine the appropriateness of titles sold on our site, which, you know, means that's a catch-all. I mean, that's a legal catch-all for, well, if we don't like it, we can deem it that, and you're screwed.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it really... I keep on thinking about the fact that at the beginning of this year, the Comic Code Authority finally fell. We finally had... That was finally over with. There was no licensing agency for comic books. And then all of a sudden, we're getting all of these new gatekeepers, all of these people who are saying, well, we don't think yaoi is appropriate because...
And this is the kind of thing that, I mean, we saw with PayPal deciding to no longer accept certain payments through, what was that, Furry Comics?
Yeah, it wasn't PayPal, it was Visa. But
Visa,
yeah,
yes, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's the same idea, and it's all kind of creepy.
Wasn't there a story from a few months ago where some independent writers who had, like, erotic stories on the Kindle Marketplace got their stuff taken off, too?
Yeah, and here's the insidious thing. When Amazon Kindle says they're not carrying it, that doesn't just mean that it's no longer available to buy. It means they reach into your devices wirelessly, you know, next time you hook up, and they pull it off of your device.
And there was a lot of problems with that when they first started with the Kindle, with things that people had bought disappearing due to early glitches, honestly. I think famously the book 1984 had a problem with that, which was extra funny. Or maybe that was just the reference everyone was making at the time. I got to look that up. But yeah. All right. Well,
I have a comment on this, actually.
Oh, of course you do.
No.
Yaoi fan, yes.
No, I was thinking about this because it's like, yeah, as was said, you know, the Comics Code Authority, which I don't think anybody really used, was officially over. And then all this crap is happening. I think the adult industry, where it is, needs to step up and do something. They need to have set up a content provider for readers and for, you know, where's the adult Amazon? Where's the adult credit card?
Porn reader.
No, it's like,
you know, with a sign on the front that says not porn.
Yeah, I mean,
no, I
is
mean,
that the pervert 3000?
No, you gotta hear me out. I mean, because if everybody else is closing this out, and people, you know, porn is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and if there's gonna be somebody out there that's gonna take it, you know, gonna be that gateway for people that, you know, for what everyone else is pulling, of which obviously nothing, none of the illegal adult stuff, obviously, but, you know.
Well, this is kind of the same thing that's happening with apps on the iPhone versus the Android. I mean, iPhone, you know, they won't allow certain apps on, or any app that they don't want to allow on, and, you know, Steve Jobs has famously said about porn, like, if you want to watch porn, you know, just don't watch it on an iPhone, you know, or, like, so... Clearly not a quote, but you know, there's a lot of devices where it's the thing. You know, it's our device; we can do what we want with it, and that's kind of a new. I mean, that's not a new idea when you think about it. Nintendo had quality checking going on that you could only, they were the ones making the actual cartridges for their games. So you could only get a game through if you went through Nintendo. Now, right. There were a few famous cases around it, but pretty much you couldn't. It was a big deal back then even. So, you know, it's not a new idea, but, you know, with a lot of webcomics out there that are trying to look into online markets, the idea of not being able to go into the Kindle might be a problem.
Yeah, the problem, I mean, the thing is that the professional porn industry, the multi-million dollar business we all talk about, they do have methods of getting to you. I mean, Larry Flint's not hurting because he has networks and he can get his content to you directly. The problem is always the small producer that gets slammed by this because all of a sudden, well, you're not big enough to have a, you know, to warrant
that's these true networks. That's very true. But every I heard that, Alex. every time there is this gatekeeping, it happens a little bit less. I mean, it used to be in, you know, like 1500s, you know, people couldn't mass produce things, and then you had the printing press, and then people couldn't, like, I'm going back that far because every time there's this gatekeeping, it's like slightly more of a first world problem. You know, it's slightly smaller of an issue, and there are more and more ways around it.
Everyone predicts it will be the end of culture and everything like that.
Yeah. We already saw the end of culture. 1982. Howard the Duck. The end. Culture is gone. We're now post culture. All right. We'll move on. Quickly in note, comic artist Chris Wozniak and his wife Deborah have set up a Facebook page and PayPal account. They lost their home in the tornado that hit Tuscaloosa on April 27th, and they are now working to figure, you know, move on with their lives. If you're curious about Chris's work, his work was seen in for Marvel and DC throughout the 80s and 90s, and is still working today. So, for those interested, check that out. And I'm going to move right into the next one. Oh, by the way, sources. Totally should be citing sources. Oh, those are both via their original sources, Robot 6 and Robot 6 again. So, David Malky, creator of Wondermark, produces t-shirts through Topotico and had two t-shirts that were completely ripped off by a site called Tenga. Now, in this case, there are two sayings, the first being, I was an honors student, I don't know what happened, and the second saying, sarcasm is just great. I feel like you need that kind of reflection. And both have been ripped off. Now, both on the surface, admittedly, maybe not the most like thorough ideas. You know, I mean, they don't relate to his comic in particular, and they're both kind of references to things that are just kind of generally out there. But the descriptions for both products are exactly the same, part and parcel taken from Topotico's website. Now, the artwork looks a little different, but it's just words. You know, I mean, they're illustrated in one and typed in the other or whatever, but, mm-hmm. but you know, both are just horribly obviously ripped off. And then he goes into talking about the difference between imitation and commentary, which is where it gets interesting. But he talks about two sites, the first being Snorgtees and the second being Glenstees, Glens with two N's and a Z. And how the first, Snorg, just takes whatever's popular and then says, yep, that, on a shirt, here it is. And the second, Glenstees, does more commentary where they actually go into it and take it one step further, whatever it is. So they'll have, for example, my favorite on here is Optimus Prime is a golf cart, which just looks awesome. Mm. So, you know, they don't just take the thing and put it on a shirt, but they actually try and do something with that, even if it is referential. Now, do you guys think there is such a difference between imitation and parody?
The problem is it's It's both very easy to see, but it's very hard to define. Mm-hmm. So yep.
It's like
whenever porn. Someone you know, when is just imitating, they say they're parroting.
Right.
Or whenever someone is, you know, they said it's parody, not imitation. But
well, I mean, this first of all, this is the kind of thing you can run into. I mean, a lot of artists run into stuff like this, and being ripped off on the internet is tricky. But some interesting things came out of the discussion on this post as well. This is from David Malky's Tumblr, by the way. And I actually found it through there, but it's also referenced on Fleen. A guy named Mr. Dogshit made the point, if you're stupid enough to try to make money by selling something that can be easily copied, then tough shit. And I couldn't keep my mouth shut on that one because that I had to comment on that already. Because the thing is, in this day and age, it's so easy to copy everything. Yep. You know, everyone has a copy or can get a copy of Photoshop, Illustrator, whatever. And it's so easy to find sites that you can get things printed that you can copy anything. That really what's worth it nowadays is the ideas. And right. That's really what they're ripping off in this case is they're just regurgitating the idea. They're not doing anything new with the idea. And that's something that's the problem that he's trying to make.
Case in point, it's really easy just to copy a movie these days. Does that make it legal? No.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's really easy to copy a dollar bill. So by that logic.
No, it's not. Sorry, Secret Service. We're good upstanding citizens.
Yeah. But yeah,
you would
I mean.
Never do such a thing.
Let me play devil's advocate on this for a second.
Okay.
Because let's say there's one person who has an idea but doesn't have the infrastructure, the system to actually bring that idea to full term. And let's take a classic example, Superman. You know, Superman, everyone complains that, you know, DC stole Superman from the creators and, you know, they were never fairly compensated for the idea. DC's argument is, look it, if we did not spend, you know, so many years marketing and building Superman up, it wouldn't be so great.
Right.
So is there an argument to say, look it, I'm making money off of this idea, not because it's a great idea, but because I have put the
work into
work
it.
Well, into it.
But well, in this case, this is an issue. I mean, there's kind of two issues going on here. There's the plagiarism that's going on initially, and then there's the kind of commentary that he then uses that to talk about of the kind of ideas he's seeing in these T-shirt sites.
Yeah.
Now, on the first point, on the plagiarism, it is a fine line, and he makes the point like it's not that he's not so worried about the money; it's more like the issues that's behind it. And you know, they're so obviously plagiarizing that I don't think there's really anything to be said except yeah, it's plagiarizing. But in the second point about the difference between regurgitating an idea and altering the idea, I feel like that is a key point, and you can't stop people from doing that. Like, you'll never be able to stop people. For example, the most easy example on here is the I'm on a boat, right? So it's easy for people to say, to just put up a shirt that says I'm on a boat, have a picture of a boat, you know, in whatever way you feel like doing that. And it's still going to be just, hey, remember that joke? I remember that joke too. Here's the shirt.
But here's the
interesting. Is okay. Where you take that and you alter it. You take that and you do something with it, or you pair it with something else. And that's when it actually, I think, becomes worth a crap. Now, I'm not saying we need to stop all these people that are doing that, because you're never going to stop them. But those people are like, just people that just put I'm on a boat on a shirt is dumb. Then there are people that put I'm on a boat with like Link on the boat from Wind Waker. And at least that's, you know, I've seen that a lot. I'm pretty sure it's a friend of mine that sells it, but I don't even know. But like, at least that is, I mean, it's two people's ideas and putting them together, but at least you're adding something to it. You're adding,
it's building on.
You're building on the idea. Now that gets into issues where like Link is used by someone and all that kind of jazz. And that's tricky. I know, but
yeah.
At least there's something other than a regurgitation of something that already exists.
But let's put it this way. Let's say I came up with, let's use I'm on a boat. We use that idea. And let's say I put it on my site, and I've got my shirt up there. I don't sell any of it. And then, you know, the creators of PvP see that. They take that shirt, they slap their character on it, and they sell it. And they're going to sell a million t-shirts.
But there's a difference between slapping a character on it with a phrase synthesizing that phrase into something.
The argument PvP is going to make is we've spent years building up these characters. Right. And so we're not stealing from you, we're selling the character. And
your phrase is in the cultural lexicon, so yeah. That's somewhat true. That is definitely somewhat true. Interesting that you use PvP as the example, because Scott Kurtz went on a tirade a few months ago about how he's sick of people relying on the backs. He basically thinks half the shirts in Topatico's site are shit, and went on a tirade about it. Yeah. And it's funny that you use that term, because he also sells the Joss Whedon is my master now shirt, which is exactly everything wrong. It's type on a shirt with a phrase that really isn't any of like his ideas. It's copying off of Star Wars and Joss Whedon. He didn't really bring much to that, you know? But whatever. Anyway, we'll move right along. Be sure to check out that article. It's pretty interesting. We'll go right on.
One more thing.
Yep.
I would like to say that if anybody else finds instances with links, of course, to people, artists getting ripped off, let us know so that we can let other people know to watch out for, you got your deviant art thieves and everything like that. So yes, let us know.
Just go subscribe to youthoughtwewouldn'tnotice.com.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
That's a website?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Well, we'll get that. Otherwise, if anything's tweeted at us, we'll definitely retweet it.
Definitely. Okay, so. Next up, Shannon Dick Garrity of, what's his website? Damn, blanking. Narbonic, right?
Yes.
Has just started a new column on on Comics Journal, TCJ. And this article, by the way, we found out about this via Comics Beat. It's always great when one comic site covers another comic site talking about comics. And he talks about Bill Blackbeard and whether or not webcomics are losing our history. Interesting, considering how young we are right now. I think it's easy to say yes, that we are, because so much has kind of disappeared without knowing whatever happened to it. What was your guys' take on this?
Yeah, the world will never know Shredded Moose. And they will never see the brilliance of it.
I'm sorry, what the hell is Shredded Moose?
Shredded Moose is a very famous comic that everyone hated. It was supposed to be really horrible. So it was taken down. I mean, this is the problem in that, yes, we're losing our comic history because there's so much. It's just there are so many comics out there.
It's true.
It's too much information. Where when you're taking a look at what Blackbeard did, there was one comic in one newspaper that he collected. Let's say someone wanted to be an archivist for webcomics. What would you do today? Every day there are millions of comics being updated. Which ones are the relevant ones?
Yeah, and the thing about history is some things kind of have to float to the surface. I mean, it's hard to keep track of it all right now because there's so much going on with it that like, it's hard to say what's going to wind up having caused, having been of note years from now beyond, this is popular. And, you really just don't have a sense for what's going to be influencing people in the future. And honestly, the same problem's happening right now with graphic design. Because, I'm a graphic design person. Where there's history being written, textbooks being written about graphic design, but it's hard to write about things that are happening right now, because there's so much going on right now, and we don't have a sense yet for what's going to have been relevant or interesting or groundbreaking.
I kind of visualize the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. I'll put a link to the Wikipedia article in the chat. It's just kind of floating around there, and there's a bunch of shit in it, and nobody really knows what to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, and the other problem is what was really needed is someone to be actively archiving this stuff.
Right.
And I mean, for example, T. Campbell did his history of webcomics.
And pissed off a lot of people.
And that was the problem. He did it. It was a good book. But then he got into endless fights with people. Because
any history of webcomics book is going to do that. Because there's always going to be some obscure thing. There's the web, you know, so in such an early phase. And so, you know, which one was real first, which one, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know, you're never going to know all those answers. And, you know, in that same way, like, I think we could legitimately do a history through about 2005, because that is far enough clout that we can kind of see the forest for the trees. Mm-hmm. But anything after 2005, I mean, who knows how some of that stuff's panning out still, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that we don't have any filtering going on right now just makes it so much harder in the future when these things start disappearing.
We also, and they kind of get into this with the article, there's the Wayback Machine kind of tries to collect what's going on the internet and what can disappear from the internet, but, you know, some things just disappear, and that can be a big problem too. And that's a large problem with the web. I mean, does it matter if a comic uploaded a comic and it wound up being offensive, and then it got taken down? Is it good? And does it matter that original comic disappeared? Do we want it to disappear? Clearly, you know, and that's happened a bunch of times. So yeah, you know,
Well, I mean, that's the real history we're losing. The good stuff, the things that people are proud of, they'll keep. But those ones that really, I mean, you know, you can go to Penny Arcade's Strawberry Shortcake comic that they took down from pressure from the companies. Or, I mean, I brought up Shredded Moose specifically because this was a famously bad comic that no one can read because the author took it down because it was famously bad and got panned. We're losing not the good history. We're losing the things that were really controversial and really, you know, changed the way comics were done.
Right. All right, well, let's move on to the next article because we've got a lot more to go through. Next article comes from The Beat. Lost my link. There it is. It comes from The Beat, and it is, "Can you be a hot girl and a nerd at the same time?" Now, I think we would all say yes, but what they actually get into with this article is that it's not necessarily easy to be a hot girl and a nerd in the culture that is quote-unquote nerd culture.
Well, there was two sides. I mean, this was a big argument on the net, and the Comic Beat has a lot of sublinks. It's hard to be a girl in nerd culture. It's also that often hot girls pretend to be nerds.
And nothing infuriates me more than, I mean, it bothers me the other way too, when anyone tries to be into something, but especially when people that aren't nerdy try and pretend to be nerdy. It's a personal pet peeve.
And the Comic Book Beat article has a video of a bunch of actresses going on and saying, who are in sci-fi fantasy things, saying, "Yeah, I'm an uber nerd. I really like Star Wars." And it's like, you like Star Wars? That's what makes you nerdy?
But why do we care if people are nerdy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, can't you just be cool and like things? And I don't know.
But I mean, the thing is, there is a marketing side to this. I mean, this was part of the argument was that, and Alex can attest to this, being a girl.
I was going to say, we need to get to Alex on this.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, you get advantages by being female, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to stand out. It's easier to get hit on by guys in beards at PenguinCon all weekend.
I didn't do anything.
They could not have the beard.
Thess, do you have anything to apologize for?
No,
I always have things to apologize for, but I don't think right now, though.
But yeah, I mean, it's myself not being of conventional attractiveness and more relying on, you know, sort of intellectual things and stuff for my appeal. It's almost like, you know, the plainer girls kind of like are suspicious of you know, the hot girls,
right,
in their fandoms, and they're like, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Well, you're acceptable.
Yeah, they linked to an article. In the article, they linked to one called "Hot Chicks Need to Stop Pandering to Nerds" by Matt Robb, and they say, with that line blurred, overly attractive actresses in both mainstream Hollywood and independent new media feel they need to claim that they're a quote nerd, but to be seen as something more than just a hot chick. That's where I'm putting my foot down. Throwing on Empire Strikes Back t-shirt and Lisa Loeb glasses does not put you on the same level as me and the rest of the kids who weren't cool enough in high school to run with the popular kids or give a back crap about sports. That's called pandering, and it's got to stop. Now, I think there's one key flaw with that statement, which is that it's combining a love of certain types of culture and how you were treated in high school. And I think that's a distinction that doesn't need to be made anymore in the same way. You know? Like, I think enough... And Patton Oswalt had a big article about in Wired magazine a couple months ago talking about you know, nerd culture and where it is now and how it's not really a subculture anymore. It just kind of is.
Yeah, I feel like at this point we don't really need to be getting our panties in a twist about who is and isn't defining as a nerd.
Right.
There's room for everybody.
Yay.
I mean, this is sort of interesting because this is the argument about girls that was that happened a couple of years ago about the article of the argument about gamers, and that, you know, there were all these cool guys coming into video games, you know, and playing Call of Duty, and they weren't true gamers because these were the jocks, sort of thing, and it is that sort of feeling that, well, look at you guys. Now that you like this stuff, now that there's money here, suddenly you're interested in it. And that's not fair to us who have dedicated our life to it. There is that sort of that comic book guy mentality of, you know, hey, you haven't dedicated your life to this. You haven't, you know, forsworn all social interactions. You're actually taking showers. What are you doing here in this nerd culture?
All right. Well, let's move on. Be sure to check out that article on the Comics Beat. There's 80 comments, and they're all, well, mostly interesting. Okay, should I introduce the next one? I'm not
sure.
All
right, well, I will introduce this one.
Thank you.
Scott of the System Comic this week stirred up some controversy with proposing that webcomics should re-examine the way they do their design. He pointed out a number of key points that needed to be worked on, and has been sort of a conversation going on over the web.
Awesome. That guy's great. Go him. Yeah, so
dreamy.
So a while back here on this very show, we started talking about this, and it was something that I had worked on that we'd kind of talked about, and it had been sticking in my... It'd been sticking with me that more needed to be said. And so I really am serious about this. I really do want to see things change because, I mean, let's face it, the webcomic site model that is pretty damn standard, and there is a good thing to be said for standard, mm-hmm. but it hasn't changed significantly on most sites in 15 years, at least. You know, you've got your comic... You got your blurb with the comic. You got your first, previous, next, last, maybe a random button. You got some, like, an about page and a store page and whatever. That's it. That is every webcomic site. Now, so many webcomic sites are built on templates that, you know, of course they all have that. They all work on that. And that can be a good thing because it's a convention everyone's used to. But why is that the only way? You know, why not build other templates that do it other ways that, you know, can try for some change, try for something that maybe works better, that maybe requires less clicking to get through to things, or, you know, is more referential, or, you know, uses newer ways of doing things. Look at Tumblr having infinite scroll pages, or sites like Twitter's website that has, you know, elements locked on. Okay, I'll stop.
That's fine. Roscott.
I could keep going and going and going.
Roscott, but I don't want to take up the newscast to go into this. Sure. But I will say, for those interested, I will work with Roscott to have discussion on the core program, and where we can go into more, and we will appreciate everyone's comments on this. And if you have any comments on this, we'll post the link to Roscott's thing, and I'll post a link to my thing that I wrote up for draft one a while ago. And we'd appreciate all of your feedback, and then we'll bring things to the table on a core program. A webcomicbeacon at gmail.com for your questions, comments, and concerns.
Honestly, I'm looking at the comments. My comments must have broken. I'm seeing comments I didn't know were on here. Damn. That's awesome. All right. Cool. Oh, wow. MTV Geek wrote about it?
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
I didn't even know. Jesus. Okay.
I love seeing your mom's comments on everything.
I will. One last thing. There are 91 comments on the site right now. Most of it is from creators, and I'm amazed how many of it are creators saying, but I get click-throughs every time someone clicks between each comic. And I'm like, that's nice. Why are you so worried about click-throughs when it takes everyone forever to read your comic?
They also get ad hits.
Right. So, you know, I'm just saying there might be other ways.
Right.
So if you're interested in that, be sure to email me or tweet me, since it is kind of my project and all that. I would love to continue that discussion with anyone that wants to. And yes, we will definitely do more on that in the Webcomic Beacon here in the future. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. Okay. Moving on to an article about mobile 3D. So MIT, those eggheads over at MIT, have been working on a way to produce real 3D, fake 3D, synthesized 3D in terms of video technology without the use of stupid glasses. I couldn't be more excited to ditch the glasses. God, I hate those stupid things. I also wear glasses, so there's nothing worse than wearing glasses and having to put the glasses over your glasses.
Glasses over your glasses, yes.
Yeah, it's the inception of glasses. It needs to stop. Man, if you had bifocals and then those things, it's like three layers. Anyway, I'm not
used to have bifocals.
Really? You're not 80? What's going on?
No, I'm serious. When I got glasses in the second grade, and they put me in bifocals.
Wow.
Because I was nearsighted.
Are you Benjamin Franklin?
I don't know. I looked so dorky until, like, you know, 10th grade when I got regular glasses.
All right. Well, this article via GigaOhm. So be sure to check that out. Maybe, you know, in the future when this can become more common, people can start building things for it more commonly. And who knows, maybe we'll start seeing 3D comics. They'll be the new motion comics.
Yeah, well, let's hope that they're not the new motion comics. It's actually something good. But
yeah.
Motion comics are the new Laserdisc, so, you know.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to ask, Ross, what would you do as a graphic designer with another dimension?
Oh, man. Well, there's so much you could do. I mean, if this is just saying, you know, you can design things in 3D and have them work in 3D, I mean, first of all, people are already designing in 3D. I mean, you already have layers. You have windows in front of other windows. You have elements that are over other elements. So it's not like we don't have that a little bit, but this implies a certain amount of, like, movement to that and an ability to play with that that could, I mean, just imagine, like, if you had a frame an artwork and you could see not just what's in the frame, but you could lean to a side and see that something's peeking around a corner, you know, and little things like that, or, you know, have things behind other things. Like, talk about subtext. You could have literally subtext, you know, things that, like, you have to see behind other, like, there's options in just even the design around it. Like, I won't shut up about, so, you know, just that. Okay, we'll move on.
Well, I did want to say something.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Funny that I observed. There is a DVD of the season 8 Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics for sale in stores.
Really?
Which is like the most bizarre thing I think I've ever encountered.
What is it? Like, what is it in practice?
It's just a motion comic of the season 8 comics of Buffy.
Well, I guess
so. You can have an entire DVD set.
If you're going to own seasons 1 through 7, you might as well own season 8. But
I just found that really funny when I encountered it one night at work.
I know we're always kicking the publishing companies, but that they have to repeat every single mistake webcomics made. it's just like every attempt they're doing. It's like, yes, we tried that. And then they say, no, but we're a company. This will be different. And then they try it, and they hate it, and they say, and people hate it, and they say, oh, this digital comic doesn't work. It's like, no.
It's like I don't know if we talked about it or not, but there's a webcomic about something or other, archaeology, that the Smithsonian put on their website. And it has a Flash interface that pops out of the window.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, God. Smithsonian. Yeah.
That's,
please.
Well, that gets into design problems again, but
no.
All right.
Every time they come out and they say, well, we're going to make a digital comic, but it's going to have motion. It's going to have a Flash viewer that people have to download and learn how to use. It's going to be behind a paywall, and we're going to make a ton of money off of this. And so, no, you just did. You just checked out everything that webcomicers tried and blew up in their faces. I mean, all right. That's my rant.
All right. Over at GigaOM, an article about social commerce and trying to understand how it really works and why. And he says in it, the crux of my argument is that the first phase of e-commerce was the utilitarian hunt for staples. The next phase of e-commerce is about recreational shopping, where the merger of social and interest graphs would drive buying decisions. Now, it sounds a little, diluted from webcomics, but if you think about it, if you can use social networks or the communities on your site to help encourage people to be buying your stuff, then, you know, that could play right in. Because the thing is, at the end of the day, a webcomic is a website, and it's on the web, and you need to acknowledge that and use that to your advantages.
Yep. I read through the article, and while it isn't webcomic targeted, it is very useful for talking about sales, which every webcomicer should be interested in.
Right.
And it does have some interesting ways of looking at it. And a lot of these webcomicers have hit on already.
Right.
But it talks a lot about building an experience for your products, which is what webcomics are all about.
Right. Awesome. Okay, well, we'll get into some quick tidbits. Jason Oberholzer, who, by the way, does the comic or the Tumblr feed I Love Charts. If anyone reads I Love Charts, this is the guy behind it. And through I Love Charts, I'm sure this is exactly how this went, Jason met Zach Wiener. He was a Chartist in residence one day and interviewed him for Forbes magazine, where Jason writes for his day job. I don't know that for a fact that that's how that went down, but it makes perfect sense to me. So
it's a great interview.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful interview. What was your favorite part, Alex?
Probably how the tone wasn't all like, oh, webcomics are wonderful and they're getting people billions and billions of dollars, like that one about the oatmeal from a while back.
Yeah. No, they even go into, like, this is written by a guy that understands comedy.
Yes.
And breaks it down from a comedic standpoint. Listen to this question. It's such a long question, but I love that he asked this in an interview. Ricky Gervais recently did a roundtable with Chris Rock, Louis C.K., and Jerry Seinfeld, where they spoke about the craftsmanship of comedy in terms of very similar to those you just used. Gervais mentioned that he feels guilty when he makes an audience laugh using mainly his skills as a presenter. He proposes a differentiation between being funny and being a good comic, and that line involves a caliber of ideas. CK supported the delineation, but maintained that a laugh is still a laugh, and there should not be guilt no matter the process. What is your opinion on the cheap laugh, and do you see parallels between your craft and that of a stand-up comedian? Oh, I love that he asked that question. More like, God, I'm so sick of being asked questions that are of such low caliber. I mean, I love doing interviews. Please interview me. But, you know, God, the more people need to be asking that sort of questions. Not to mention, I'm a huge stand-up comedy geek, and they mention, like, every big stand-up comedy name, Bill Hicks, everything, like, in there. And Kurt Vonnegut, like, it goes all over the place. Read this article. It's worth it. yeah. Okay, well, we got to finish up, so we're kind of in some tidbits. Let's keep going through. Frank, there's apparently a lot of Frank Miller fakes and others on eBay right now. This article via Bleeding Cool, talking about, well, that really, there's a ton of fakes out there. So if you're looking to buy sketches, be careful.
Be careful.
And look at those, because there's some really funny ones. Then another article via Bleeding Cool over on graphicpolicy.com, which tries to break down who are the comic fans on Facebook. The great thing about Facebook is that you have statistics using such data. Like, if anyone's ever curious how Facebook is doing so well monetarily, it's because they know your age, your location, and everything you're into, and advertisers eat that information up. And so they break down on this site who says on their Facebook page that they like comics and comic books, and breaks down who they are, men versus women, age, relationship status, etc.
Education, yeah.
So for those that are more education, yeah, all that stuff. For those in the kind of interested in looking at things more methodically and analytically, check that out. Finally, one more tidbit. Good news for online sales. The higher gas prices seem to be helping online sales. People are looking to drive less and ordering online more. Now, that's dangerous, of course, because anything that's delivered to your house still has to get there using some sort of gas. So we're going to probably wind up paying more for it eventually as gas prices keep going up. But in the meantime, it's cheaper to go on Amazon than drive there.
Yes, and in corollary, if someone wants to read a comic, they're going to be more likely to read it online than to go down to the comic book store or bookstore to buy it.
Do you guys think this is going to ever affect convention sales? Or no, because conventions tend to be local for people?
I think it will affect conventions in that not everyone is local going to a convention. And I think it's going to decrease the amount of people going to conventions,
right,
in out of state, and it will decrease the willingness of conventions to pay transportation for speakers. So I think you're going to see conventions get more local as if the prices continue.
Speaking of which, Ross's apartment con is next weekend. we've hit a max attendance of 3 people, me and my trash can and all my merch. That's it. Just the 3 of us hanging out. But it's going to be good. There's going to be signings, panels, and workshops. So be sure to check that out. Okay, well, it's been a great show, guys. I hope you all have enjoyed listening. If you find any articles that you would like to hear talked about on the Webcomic Beacon, you see any good tips, or you find out anything that you want to let us know about, send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, or leave us a comment over at the Webcomic Beacon's post for this newscast, or find us on the Twitters. What is everyone's Twitter name? We don't normally go around with that. I am at Roscott, R-O-S-S-C-O-T-T. The Webcomic Beacon is just at Webcomic Beacon. Fess is at Fessworks. Alex, what's yours?
Mine is at Alex Heberling, A-L-E-X H-E-B-E-R-L-I-N-G.
And Eric, yours is
It's at Drowmos, D-R-O-W-E-M-O-S.
You really don't like spelling things easily.
Some words spelled backwards.
Yeah, I know, but like in terms of trying to whatever. Anyway,
I'm dyslexic. I'm sorry. I rebel against the English language.
Your elevator pitch is doomed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
You have the worst elevator.
How do you pronounce that again?
Okay. Well, we hope you've all enjoyed the show. Please do get involved. We really do want to turn this into more of a conversation. So please Let us know if there's anything that you'd like to hear on the show. Hope you've enjoyed today's show. We record every Sunday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we always have a Ustream going. Hey, Ustream people, how you doing? So be sure to join us for that sometime. For anyone tuning in live, there's another cast coming up after this. And you can find out all of that and more at thewebcomicbeacon.com. I am out of things that I have to say, right, Fess? I think I covered it all.
Sure.
Awesome. All right. Well, with that, I wish you all a happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, all you moms out there. Happy Mother's Day to everyone else out there. Hopefully you remembered Mother's Day. If not, go out and get something quick. And drama. I love that.
I got to call mom.
Yeah. Everyone go call mom. I'm going to go call mom too. So with that, it's been a great show. This has been the Webcomic Beacon episode number 186. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Peanut butter and jelly. Have a good day.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.